Whispering Streets. And here is Bette Davis.
Hello. When Daniel Foster went to New York on one of his selling trips, he visited a great many retailers. He also did quite a bit of buying. And sometimes in the evening, somebody he'd met during this process of buying and selling would take him to a show, and sometimes he'd be asked to a party, and he'd meet a bevy of glamour girls. He'd laugh at them later with his wife, Norma. Norma hadn't a jealous bone in her body. But one night at the party given by a customer named Hawthorne, Daniel met Hawthorne's daughter, a lovely redhead named Dallas. And Dallas took him in hand and introduced him to the other guests. When they came to one special girl.
Philippa, this is Daniel Foster. Daddy says he's a very hot salesman.
Oh?
This is Philippa Garson, Mr. Foster. She's a model. Oh, I wish I could be a model, but Daddy has me completely under his thumb until I'm 18. Well, it won't be long now.
You'd make a very fine model, Miss Hawthorne. I'm very pleased to meet you, Miss Guy.
I'm sure the pleasure is, or will be, mutual. Don't call me Miss Garson. Everybody calls me Flip.
It's a very cute nickname.
And it certainly suits her. You'll find out. Well, there's my date across the room.
The tall man with the dark hair? The terribly good-looking man, Dallas?
Uh-huh. His name's Noah Haven, and he's an actor, and I'm absolutely stark, staring crazy about him. If I were of age, I'd... Please don't either of you tell Daddy that I'm dating Noel. Daddy doesn't go for actors. He's the old-fashioned type. See you later, Flip. You too, Mr. Foster.
She's a beautiful girl, isn't she, Mr. Foster? And so fantastically rich.
She's very beautiful. So are you.
But I'm fantastically poor.
Well, time will take care of that. With your face and figure, you'll marry a millionaire.
Do you think so, really?
I'm sure of it.
Are you a millionaire?
Anything but.
Oh, it's a pity. Where do you live?
In Chicago.
I've never been to Chicago. I've never been anywhere except here. What's Chicago like?
Oh, it isn't very different from New York. But don't let any New Yorkers hear me say so. New Yorkers are very chauvinistic.
What does that mean?
I'll give you the definition one day.
Oh, don't bother to give me the definition. There are a lot of things I want more than definitions. But that sounds as if I'm hinting, doesn't it? But I'm not. I knew from the moment I saw you, you weren't a New Yorker.
Why? Is it my accent? Do I sound like a Middle Westerner?
Oh, it isn't your accent. It's your attitude.
Now I want a definition.
Well, let me see if I can explain. Well, the men who live in New York are so smarty-pants. They pretend to know all the answers, and they're forever wisecracking at somebody else's expense.
Well, now, that isn't very kind.
No, it isn't. They're smooth. Too smooth. But you're cute, Daniel. You're not only cute, you're nice.
Thank you.
And it isn't just that, either. The men in this town don't think anything of a girl's reputation. They put her in all sorts of embarrassing positions, and then they laugh and walk out on her.
Of course, there's some unprincipled people in every city, in every small town, for that matter. Now, the town I came from originally had less than 1,000 in population, but even there, I knew a couple of characters that belonged in jail.
Only a couple?
Mm-hmm.
My, in this town there were millions of stinkers, and I mean stinkers. Why, leaving you out of it, there isn't a man in this room, not one that I trust.
You're flattering me beyond endurance.
Beyond endurance? Well, I hope not. Listen to me, Daniel. I like you.
And I like you, Flip. Very much.
Tell me, Daniel. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Well, I admire you for admitting it. Most of the men I know are such liars. Is your wife anything like me, Dan?
No, Flip. No, she isn't a bit like you. I guess nobody is quite like you.
In just a moment, Bette Davis will be back again. But first...
Return with me now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. To be specific, Thursday, when a masked man of the plains and his faithful Indian companion had just rescued a pretty girl from a gang of bad guys.
Kimosabe, pretty girl come this way. Better put him on mask. Kimosabe, you're supposed to put mask over eyes, not mouth.
Unfortunately, the masked man had neglected his teeth and was a little shy about his appearance.
A masked man, I just wanted to thank you. What did he say?
Him say him want to talk to you with eyes.
Well, forget it, Charlie.
The masked man was so upset, he rode off into the sunset, where he brushed after eating, watched sweets, and practiced good dental health. But had he been able to smile that fateful day, he could have been riding around with a pretty girl instead of an Indian. Next time a pretty girl comes your way, please be ready to smile.
A message from the American Dental Association.
Back to our story with Bette Davis.
I guess nobody's quite like you. That's what Daniel Foster had said to the girl named Philippa. Well, she was something for the books, with her pale hair, her slanted green eyes, and her short upper lip, and her slim little body. She smiled into Daniel's face, and as he smiled back, he felt himself blushing ever so slightly.
Tell me about your wife, Daniel. What's she like if she isn't like me?
Norma has medium brown hair. There's quite a little gray in it now.
Is it straight or curly?
Well, it's straight. But she has permanence.
Oh, I hope she doesn't have the frizzy kind. They make a woman look even older than her actual age. Is she thin, Daniel, or fat?
When we were married, she was as slim as you are, but now she's... put on a little weight.
Oh, if women would only realize they must keep themselves in shape. That is, if they want to hold their husbands. Not that you're the sort who'd run out on a woman, even if she were fat and frizzy-haired. You're loyal through and through.
You're being awfully kind to me.
And I could be loads kinder to you if I had the chance. And if you had the time. How long are you going to be in New York, Daniel?
I was planning to go home tomorrow night. I could stay until the end of the week if anything important came up.
Important? Like what?
Three guesses.
Well, if you decide to stay till the end of the week, call me and we'll go dancing. I bet you're a smooth dancer.
Oh, I do all right. I'm no Arthur Murray or Fred Astaire, but I get mine.
Well, I'll give you my phone number before we leave.
Give it to me now. Use a pencil and a slip of paper.
Thanks. I'll bet you never use it. You'll go home tomorrow night and I'll never see you again. That's life. My goodness. I haven't asked you what you're doing in town, have I? Well, that's one thing about me. I'm not the least snoopy.
I came out to do some selling.
Oh, yes, I remember. Dallas Hawthorne said you were a hot salesman. I guess you could sell anybody anything, Daniel.
I'm not that good. Well, and then, too, I had to do some buying on the side.
Oh, what did you sell? And what did you buy?
I'm in the garment trade. I sold the finished product and bought raw materials.
Is the finished product for men or women?
For women. My firm makes women's and misses' dresses.
Oh, high style?
Sorry, no. No, you wouldn't be interested in the dresses we sell. They're for women in the modest income class.
Heaven knows I'm in the modest income class. But even though you don't make high-style dresses, you must know some of the wholesalers who do make them and some of the retailers who sell them.
Yes, I do.
Ooh, a girl can get grand bargains if she knows wholesalers. I wish I knew a couple of wholesalers or somebody who knew them so I could get clothes cheap. I'm still wearing last summer's things, and the styles have changed so drastically in the last year. It's a crime, isn't it? A girl like me should have to wear last summer's clothes.
I'd say it's a crime. Perhaps I can do something about it.
Oh, you're a darling. If we weren't in such a crowded room, Daniel, I'd kiss you for being such a darling.
committed himself, took Philippa to a couple of wholesalers the next day, and she bought 3 suits and 4 dresses, and somehow they were put on his bill. Norma hadn't a jealous bone in her body, but Dan wondered if she'd mind having him buy a few suits and several dresses for Flip. But the girl needed them, and she was obviously flat-busted. He made a date to take Philippa to dinner at the theater and to a supper club after the theater that night. He'd about decided, you see, to stay over until the end of the week. And when they were seated in the popular supper club with a very small table between them...
Oh, this is a lovely place. None of the men I know here in town ever take me to such lovely places.
Well, they must be cheapskates.
No, they are. And they never give me really nice presents either. I'm wearing one of the dresses you gave me, Dan.
Why, I didn't exactly give it to
you. Oh, yes, you did, darling. We want to dance.
I've been waiting for the honor.
Oh, I'm going to miss you terribly when you leave. Truly, I am. You're not only cute and nice, you're sweet. Well, come on, let's go.
I feel as if I'm holding a fluff of thistle down in my arms. Isn't there any substance to you, Flip?
There's no substance in a sense. It sounds like a come on, doesn't it? No something.
What?
It is a come on. Oh, the lights are getting low, Dan. I think they're going to have to throw a show about now. The headline is a girl who sings old-fashioned songs. They're making a fix in it. But I don't like the old songs. I like the new ones that make you feel all excited and tingly.
You make me feel excited and tingly, Flynn.
Do I? I think the old songs are getting awfully tiresome. Especially when you hear them over and over again, don't you? Because they're turning the lights on. Let me know if that girl's gonna sing.
And his hand on Philippa's dimpled elbow guided her back to their table. The lights grew dimmer and dimmer, and then suddenly in the center of the baby spot on a tiny raised stage at the end of the room stood a slim girl whose straight brown hair was gathered into a knot in the nape of her neck. She was wearing a gray dress, almost like a Quaker's, with a wide white collar and cuffs, and she smiled wistfully at the audience and clasped her hands together and started to sing. The song she sang was a very, very old one. Believe me, it's all those endearing young charms. Dan sat there tensely until the song was over and the girl had bowed gravely and faded into the shadows. And then the lights came up and Philippa spoke, as soon as the applause had died away. No, a shade before it had died away.
Oh, no, that's a crazy song to sing in a supper club. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Thomas Moore wrote it about a woman he loved very dearly.
Thomas Moore. I know a boy named Tommy Moore. He's a big spender when he's in the mood. He's awfully fresh. And I don't think he writes songs, so it couldn't be the same one.
No, it couldn't be the same one. Thomas Moore's been dead for a long, long while.
And so is that song of his, if you ask me. I hope they'll put in some real hot South American music, just to take the taste out of my mouth.
In just a moment, Bette Davis will be back again, but first... Around the beginning of the 19th century, the women of America began to speak up in defense of their rights as citizens. One of the first of the suffragettes, as they were called, was Lucretia Mott. In 1848, at a mass meeting of American women at Seneca Falls, New York, it was Mrs. Mott who presented a document known as the Declaration of Sentiments and Resolutions, which expounded women's rights. The document said in part, "We, meaning the women, insist that we have immediate admission to all rights and privileges which belong to us as citizens of the United States. We further resolve that it is the duty of the women of this country to secure to themselves their sacred right to the elective franchise." This meeting indirectly led to the adoption of the 19th Amendment and added another page to your political history. to our story with Betty Davis.
Hot South American music, the rumba, the samba, the mamba. But all at once, Daniel Foster was back in the past. No, not with Thomas Moore, with Norma. As he'd first known her, young and slim in the moonlight, saying a tremulous yes to his blurted out proposal. The words of the song came back to him.
Leave me with all those endearing young charms which I gaze on so fondly today, or to fade by tomorrow and fleet from my arms like fairy gifts fading away.
Gifts fading away? Why not gifts at last? Fairy gifts is silly.
Thou wouldst still be adored as this moment thou art, let thy loveliness fade as it will. And around the dear ruin, each wish of my heart would entwine itself verdantly still.
What's all this about a dear ruin?
It is not while beauty and youth are thine own, and thy cheeks unprofaned by a tear.
Hey, stop it, please. You're making me nervous, Daniel. Silly you are. That's silly words.
Dan was thinking how seldom he'd seen Norma cry. Not when he was faced by a business failure. Not when her father had passed away. The one time he'd seen her cry was when their son, aged 10, had been killed in an accident to the school bus. Yet she'd been able to smile through her tears.
But we've still got our little girl, Dan, dear. And we must bear up for her sake. I miss you terribly, dear, and so will you. You'll never be far from us. You'll live on in our hearts. And we still have our little daughter. She'll comfort us, darling.
Suddenly, Dan was thinking of Norma's brown hair with its touches of gray. What if she did have a frizzy permanence every so often? He glanced across the table at Philippa with her pale gold hair. She was peering at him with her green eyes narrowed.
Well, that's better.
What's better?
You're looking at me. At least you still know I'm alive.
I still know you're alive.
As I said a moment ago, you made me nervous when you started quoting that poetry stuff.
Did I?
You're not listening to a word I say.
Well, yes, I am.
That's a fib, Daniel. You're thinking about something else. Business?
No, I was thinking about Norma, my wife.
Last night when I asked about your wife, I said, does she look like me? And you said...
The fervor and faith of a soul can be known, of which time will but make me more dear.
Dan wasn't back in the past now. He was just a step removed from the present. A few months ago, he and Norma had celebrated their 15th wedding anniversary. They'd stood hand in hand in the receiving line, thanking their guests, and their little daughter had darted all over the place like a gay butterfly in her organdy dress. And Norma had leaned close to him and had whispered,
I love you more now, Dan, than I did on our wedding day. We only had love when we were married, but now we have roots. Roots that go very, very deep.
That's right, Norma.
Have I made you as happy, Dan, as you've made me?
Yes, darling.
One of these days, we'll go on a second honeymoon, and it'll be better than the first one because we're so well acquainted. We don't have to explore each other's minds and hearts. We can spend all of our time being grateful because we have so very, very.
You were doing it again, and you know I hate it.
Yes, I was doing it again.
I was talking about your wife. I was saying that I'd ask you if she looked like me. You remember what you said, Daniel, when I asked that question?
Just give me a moment and I will remember.
Well, I remember right now. You said you guessed that nobody was quite like me.
I guess nobody is, but you're in a class all your own.
Now you're beginning to sound like yourself.
Oddly, strangely, head-turningly beautiful.
Now you're sounding like yourself again.
But Norma's beautiful, too, in her own way. It's a quiet, calm way, but yes, she's beautiful. Look, Philippa, I'd better settle up the check, and then we'll get going.
Turn out the clock?
No, I'll take you to your apartment house, and then I'll go to my hotel and pack my bag, and then I'll drive out to the airport and be a stand-in until a cancellation comes through.
But I thought you were going to stay until the end of the week.
I thought so, too, Philippa. But I've changed my mind.
The song itself. And these memories are the ones that make life worth living. You remember that at the party, it was Mr. Hawthorne's attractive daughter, Dallas, who introduced Daniel to the other guests. Dallas admitted that she was in love with a young actor, but didn't want her father to know.
Here again is Bette Davis.
When it came to the man in her life, Dallas Hawthorne knew what she wanted, or thought she did. Anyway, her adventure took her to a dude ranch owned by an old friend of yours, Ma Higgins. So, until then, this is Bette Davis saying goodbye from the Whispering Street.
The program was written by Margaret E. Sangster. Featured in the cast were Eve McVeigh, Mick Kern, and Colleen Collins. Whispering Streets was directed by Gordon T. Hughes and produced by Ted Lloyd. Your announcer is Dan Cumberley.
Streets has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.